Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا الله
Sharia is the Islamic legal system that comes from two primary sources, the Quran and Sunnah, the ways, actions, and examples of Prophet Muhammad peace and blessing be upon him. The term Sharia means a body of moral and religious law. Sharia is derived from religious prophecy and not human legislation. Sharia is a system devised by Allah for his creation given to Prophet Muhammad peace and blessing be upon him. Goals of Sharia: Tawhid, the ones of Allah. Ensure that justice is served, not only to the Muslims but to all human beings. That no one is oppressed. No woman gets abused. No child is abused. No orphan is taken advantage of. Right for the poor. Sharia deals with many topics such as politics, crime and economics, as well as matters including sexual intercourse, hygiene, salat, diet and fasting. It is a must for Muslims to adhere to Sharia due to it being from Allah. Sharia is a significant source of law for several Muslim countries. Sharia legislation is not a harsh form of justice. Sharia legislation is legislation of mercy and compassion. Sharia in its entirety is justice, mercy, and benefit. Any issue that leads to misjustice, is not benefit and is against mercy is not from Sharia even if one thinks so. Chapter 45 verse 18. Sharia is not just for this worldly life, its aim is also for the hereafter. Sharia encourages trade and business, also education for both male and female. This is eliminate or limit hardship. Allah states in the Quran chapter 2 verse 185. Allah wants ease for you, not hardship. Chapter 22 verse 78 has imposed no difficulties on you in religion. Allah has ordained Sharia for his creation and exemplifies his mercy. Sharia demands that Muslims follow the laws of the land as long as it does not conflict with Islam. Sharia encourages Muslims to be upstanding, righteous and pious. It is a social and legal system which is a vital part of a Muslim's life.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. My name is Yahya Merchant, born in England to a Christian family, Muslim by choice, and American citizen by preference. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my presentation on Sharia. But before I start, I would request one thing of you. Please set aside any preconceptions you may have. Preconceptions are merely obstacles in the path of learning. A Christian chemist in the 10th century wrote, "Hearsay and mere assertion have no authority in chemistry. It may be taken as an absolute rigorous principle that any proposition which is not supported by proofs is nothing more than an assertion which may be true or false. It is only when a person brings proof of his assertion that we say, your proposition is true. This applies equally to everything you see, hear, or read before you form an opinion, whether in chemistry or social sciences or religion. The presentation consists of the following 6 topics. I will start with the first topic now, the reactions to Sharia. What are the kinds of reactions we have observed from some people? It looks frightening. In fact, the reactions look somewhat paranoid. There are many scary comments. So is Sharia a threat to America and Americans? Let's look and see. Of course, not everyone contributes to such a disturbing views. There are people with a reasonable stance on this issue. For example, Stefan Salisbury points out the part that ignorance plays in the spread of irresponsible remarks. NPR has its clear opinion that there are two sides with opposite views. Ian Stewart suggests in the Daily Iowan of 22nd July 2011 that Sharia law has become a caucus issue, considering some presidential candidates' warning messages. If asked, most people would answer, if at all, with a snap view of Sharia, reducing it to a mere code of harsh criminal laws. As a result of the general population's ignorance and a vast amount of false information in the media, they react with fear and hostility. Only knowledge from a reliable source can offer understanding and take the fear and hostility away. Now we come to some of the most important clarifications regarding Sharia. Firstly, it is important to understand that unlike the US Constitution, there is no one document outlining the Sharia to be abided by all Muslim communities. For the unfortunate people who have been misled into believing that Sharia is a threat, I have some good news for you. Sharia actually protects non-Muslims as it cannot be forced upon them. So all the efforts to prevent Sharia from creeping into American law were the result of ignorance and resulted in considerable waste of time and money. Sharia is only obligatory for the Muslim community. In fact, Sharia cannot be, and is not intended to be, enforced even upon Muslims by any government. Osama bin Laden and the Taliban are no more specialists in Sharia than vigilantes are in American law. Since Sharia assumes education creates internal motivation, breach of the law is regarded as a serious matter. It is considered dishonorable behavior towards the Creator. As a result, while the rules of evidence are extremely strict, punishment of people found guilty can be severe. This is due to the fact that public order is based on trust, and Sharia educates people in self-control. Mutilation of the body parts, apart from male circumcision, is forbidden in Islam. This includes tattoos and body piercing, which are forbidden. These, along with the other things mentioned, are found among tribal customs, among both Muslims and non-Muslims in some areas. In fact, Somali women are currently lobbying the government to ban these tribal customs. Now let us try to understand what Sharia stands for. First, we will look at the meaning of the word Sharia, both literal and as a religious term. It is easy to imagine the importance of water to people living as desert nomads. Living as we do, we tend to forget that water is vital to life. So Sharia is the way that leads to the source of human life, especially the spiritual life. It is the divinely ordained path. Muslims believe that it is the straight path that the believer must follow to find success and salvation. Since water is indispensable for all organic life, this term has in time come to denote a system of laws, both moral and practical, which shows man the way towards spiritual fulfillment and social welfare. Hence, religious law in the widest sense of the term. In fact, the very word Islam means submitting to God's will and keeping His commandments, and God has willed us to fulfill the rights of all, the Creator and His creatures, and even of one's own self. How to achieve this? Sharia is the path. For some people, Sharia means Islamic law, a term that is used in a very broad sense. It is not so simple. Here are certain terms relevant to Sharia and understanding of its term. terminology helps reduce confusion. Now about the sources of Sharia. These are of two types. One source is explicit texts in the Quran and Hadith, and the other consists of texts that are open to interpretation. The explicit texts are the basis or the basic source of law and guidance. Things open to interpretation include certain texts in the Quran and the Sunnah, precedents in the rulings of the early scholars, consensus of a community of scholars, and drawing conclusion through demonstrative analogies. These are flexible to allow consideration of human advances. The methodology is well defined but requires highly qualified scholars. The Sharia is neither static nor monolithic. There can be different interpretations with reference to different situations. An example of attempting to interpret the needs of society today can be found in Pursuit of Justice, The Jurisprudence of Human Rights in Islam by Maher Hatoot. This book, published very recently, proves that, as the Quran states, Islam is intended for all future time due to the built-in flexibility. Sharia is not composed of rulings just black or white, right or wrong, but is graded into five categories of permissibility between right and wrong. Don't be worried about Sharia law. Such religious laws are not exclusive to the Islamic faith. The equivalents did or do exist in other faith traditions too. I think in the religious context, a reasonable definition of law could be like this. We find similar laws not only in the Judeo-Christian traditions, but also in other religions such as Hinduism. So how is it possible to justify such a hue and cry about Sharia? The Quran attests also that divine laws have been ordained to earlier civilizations. Muslims believe that these laws are all creator-provided guidance to help humankind find the right way. Now let me explain the Islamic viewpoint on these religious laws. God has provided us not only with the means and resources for our physical existence, but also with the necessary guidance for our moral and spiritual existence and development. Thus, the guidance through these divine laws is viewed in Islam as a basic human need. To all people who believe in a creator, it is obvious that the guidance of the creator must be superior to the trial and error laws tried out by the created human beings. When we compare man-made laws with those from divine sources, it becomes clear that laws based on divine sources are more balanced and provide more complete guidance. It would be illogical that Muslims should believe that divine guidance would only appear in the 6th century Christian era. As mentioned, there were earlier examples of divine guidance. It is quite interesting to see the close resemblance of Sharia and the Jewish halakha. You may know that halakha law is practiced in Jewish American courts, known as Beth Din. In fact, Sharia can be considered as the Islamic version of the Jewish halakha. You can see the close parallel between the two systems. Now let us look at the salient features of Sharia. We will briefly look at five main features of Sharia, which will throw light on the strength of the system. Since Muslims believe that the Creator revealed the basis of Sharia as a way of life for all times and places, it was revealed to be a flexible, integral, analytical, and educational system. The purpose of its rules and regulations are for the general good of all people. These are the rules and regulations that could or should be found as part of any secular constitution too. The Sharia has clearly defined objectives. Again, one would hope that any national constitution would cover these fundamental requirements. The core concern of Sharia is human welfare, the protection and well-being of all human beings. A purposeful system of law would do a lot more than merely establish laws to be enforced by an arm of government. Sharia law and American secular law have many similar aims, but the means of reaching those aims is where the difference lies. Sharia deals with human life in general, and hence it has to take into consideration changing human conditions and situations. As such, Sharia has the flexibility to cope with these changes, but without compromising on the basic universal truths and values. In Sharia, it is clear what is inalterable and clearly set out by the Creator, and what is flexible to allow for human development. Sharia is a comprehensive system covering all aspects of human life. It goes far beyond a mere criminal code. The comprehensiveness of Sharia enables its universal application for all people and for all times. Naturally, it has to be so, since it is prescribed by the Creator of all. This list of certain important aspects of human life give an idea of how widely Sharia caters for the needs of human society. Sharia is an analytical system. Accordingly, it has the capability to develop. Historically, we have seen how, in a very short time frame, it did develop from a system sufficient to cater for the needs of nomadic tribal life to a system capable of managing one of the largest and most brilliant civilizations in the known world. Another significant characteristic of Sharia is its educational nature. The laws are designed to educate individuals so that they will obey the law without external enforcement. It provides people with inner motivation. It is, as you can see, a comprehensive system. Now I'm going to give a few simple examples of Sharia in action. A large part of Sharia guides Muslims how best to carry out their day-to-day life. In Sharia, a person or his family is encouraged in the Quran to give up their right of demanding justice, and instead to forgive one who has harmed them, so as to seek the forgiveness of God. Here is a current example of a Muslim practicing Sharia in America today. How scaring is this example? Rais has obviously suffered a horrifying attack, and anyone would expect him to seek revenge through the law. The comments from both the victim and the convicted murderer speak for themselves as to some aspects of Sharia that are not generally known in America. From all this, we can come to some conclusions that differ from the current fear about creeping Sharia taking over the American legal system. Catholic canon law and Jewish law do not govern Catholics or Jews except voluntarily, and have no rights over non-Catholics and non-Jews except voluntarily. Sharia law is in the same position and cannot supersede American law. Where Muslims live as a minority in America, they are bound by Sharia law to obey the American law. Should any law seriously affect their religious obligations, they have the option to apply to American law for relief. And if that is not available, they have the option to leave the American jurisdiction. There is no other option open to them. Here are the comments from a religious law expert at the American Jewish Committee, Mr. Mark Stern, as reported by NPR. Since the Quran states that there is no compulsion in religion, and the only way an American non-Muslim could be affected by Sharia is voluntarily choosing to do so, you can be assured that all the fear-mongering in the media is simply generated out of ignorance of the facts or for political purposes, and is entirely without any foundation.